We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today is nobody. This is a first for the show. I'm flying solo today. We had a couple cancellations last minute, but I'm here for the people. I'm here to give you guys the content. I've never done a show. It's been a while since my FIU student media day days that I've done shows by myself. So welcome. If you're on Twitch chat on twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat, I welcome you to this program. I'm actually excited. If you're listening on the podcast, you got to join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat for any of our live podcasts. You can follow us at MIAHeatBeat on Twitter for all the updates on that, on our locker room sessions. Those are a lot of fun. We do those mornings after games, where you guys can kind of talk to us and ask questions. It's more interactive. But today we're vibing with chat. Crab photographer in the chat is like, you need deuces to bail you out. Listen, we are above the deuces. Okay. We don't need the deuces here to help out. Schmied and Smolnik in chat says, Gio's already talking too much. Well, this is all you get today. Maybe somebody comes to help me out from Heat Beat. I know that everyone was a little busy today, but the show must go on. Let's start with, we could go a couple directions, chat. We can go Kawhi's agent making some comments. We can go the game last night. We could preview the Laker game. We can go Deadman. I think I'm going to start with Kawhi because that's kind of like, I don't know. To me, that's a little exciting, and who doesn't love free agency talk? Kawhi said his agent or his representative or somebody in his camp Kawhi Leonard would absolutely be interested in joining forces with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo in Miami. Joining forces. listen, that's why the Heat are who they are, because they're going to be in the game for any superstar. They're going to be in the game for any free agents, even if they're not the ones that are getting them. Even if they're not, like, you know, it's been since, you know, I mean, they got Jimmy, but before, between LeBron and Jimmy, they were linked to a lot of names that they didn't get, you know, the Gordon Hayward saga. You know, KD, Giannis, there's a lot of strikeouts, right? There's a lot of names they didn't get. And that's okay. That's fine. But they're going to be in the conversation. I remember specifically when Anthony Davis was kind of in the discussions of getting traded. You know, I remember there was a report out there. Yes, Karmic Beat in chat says they got Luol Deng, most important signing in Heat history. I remember when the AD thing was going on and somebody in AD's camp said, well, if Miami had the cap space, this would be a different situation, right? Because they could get in because they're a desirable franchise. And I think as an organization, as, you know, a team that's always trying to win, they're never playing for a lot. Very rarely do they play for lottery balls. You kind of have to hope to give yourself a chance to get in that, you know what I mean? To get in the conversation for a star, to be desirable so that you can move heaven and earth to make them be here. Jimmy Butler wanted to be in Miami. And when he was in Minnesota and those trade talks fell apart, eventually he got to Miami. Paul George wanted to be in Los Angeles. It took a weird way to get there, and it wasn't the Lakers, but Paul George ended up in Los Angeles. Guys go where they want to be for the most part. And if the organizations are willing to play ball, they're going to get there. And yeah, I know that the Kawhi shot it down, or there's some report that I think Sam Amico or Sam Amick, I get the Sams confused, were like, oh, okay, well, you know, Kawhi's probably going to stay. Very likely he's going to stay. Of course, right? That's the damage control that you do. But listen, if they have a flameout in the first round of the playoffs, Denver just kicked their ass. Like, just totally kicked their ass. And that's an awful matchup for them, by the way. Like, you know, Denver's gotten a lot better since the Aaron Gordon deal. They're fucking coming. And that Clipper team, you know, the way that they switch and the way Jokic is able to really attack those soft spots of their switches. And just, the Denver's on fire right now. So, there's a lot of teams in the West that are really scary for the Clippers. So, you know, if they strike out, if Paul George has, if Kawhi has two straight, you know, second round exits, you know, in Los Angeles, and if he looks to, you know, if he looks down his bench and he sees that his second best player is Paul George, and it's just not working for him. Listen, we saw what Jimmy Butler can do, and I'm sure that that's attractive to him, and playing with Bam, and get him on a maintenance plan where he's not. I mean, Kawhi's playing a lot more than normal this season, but they have to. The Western Conference is tough, and they're not as good as they thought they'd be, and they're all capped out, and they really can't get better, and they have no picks to trade, and it's not a great situation for them right now in terms of kind of improving. So that's something to monitor. We've said this on this podcast before, like, that's a guy that is going to be a free agent, and I don't think it's so certain, and this is not reporting, this is just like kind of being speculative, that they're gonna, that he's gonna sign for sure. And if they're gonna be in the mix, that's gonna be incredible. Dark Province in chat asks, how will Dedmon impact the team? So I want to move on to that, because he's interesting to me for a lot of reasons. So I thought last night was probably like one of the games that you point to and be like, Dedmon could have really helped out. The Heat, when they play bigs, Eric Spoelstra teams have done this forever. Let's go back to the Roy Hibbert days when the Heat were playing the Pacers and they were like clearly a smaller team. And that's even without Chris Bosh, right? So like even going back even further to the second round series when Chris Bosh got hurt in game two, it was like a Mother's Day or something. I'll never forget that. Worst Mother's Day ever. Having brunch at my house and Chris Bosh goes down. It's like an afternoon game. I'm like, oh God, it's all over. And they love to front the post and send help. And that's what Eric Spoelstra teams have done. And even when Hassan Whiteside was here, when they can get away with some single coverage, they like the help. And I understand if it's not, it's harder when it's a guy like Jokic, right? Because Jokic is gonna absolutely murder you picking apart help. So wherever you're helping from, wherever you're sending that second man to, you front and you help, that, you know, that swing pass is going to be there, and they have enough shooting and enough ball pressure to the rim where that becomes a nightmare for you. A team like Philadelphia doesn't have that, right? So if you look at last night, Valanciunas, a lot better passer out of the post than Embiid. Embiid has a negative assist to turnover ratio. I think that that's like one of the most important things when we talk about how the Heat are going to defend him. And Dedmon is going to give them another option. They're going to give them another body to throw at. They're always going to send two. They're never going to give Embiid single coverage, ever. And Dedmon's just another body that you throw at him. And I think that when you're a team really legitimately trying to win a championship, they're not, the Heat are not just trying to, you know, okay, let's get to the second round and like, we throw confetti. That's not how they work. That's not how they operate, especially given Jimmy's clock. They're trying to win. And they need to understand that. They understand that they have to give as many looks as they can to Eric Spoelstra. How many different lineups can we give you? Because I think the way the Heat want to play is pretty clear, right? They want to play with one big and then a wing at power forward, whether that's that power forward is Ariza, whether that's Jimmy, or whether that's Andre Iguodala. And then they want to play with shooting everywhere else on the floor, because Andre is not really a shooter, neither is Jimmy. So you want to surround, you know, those guys with shooting, and then you're one big, whether it's Bam or Bealicio or Deadman or whatever. And that's how they're going to play. And that's how they want to play. And by adding Deadman, you give Eric Spoelstra, wait, now I can play two bigs. Now I can do some funky stuff. I can play Bam and Deadman together if Deadman's going to be a floor spacer. Now, Deadman was in the mid to low 20s last season in Atlanta and in his last season in Sacramento. So, like, that's not he. The last time he played basketball wasn't good, and he hasn't played in a year. And the last time we saw him play, it was bad. We're like 2 years removed from like good Dwayne Deadman. So I would like approach this with caution. Heat expert in the chat says Deadman will have zero.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Effect end of the bench guy. There's only a case of emergency, and that's kind of what I agree with. You know, Curtis Hero says Deadman gives another body to throw at Embiid. I agree with that, and I kind of think that that's going to be his role. Dark Province says I don't think Achiuwa in the rotation once Deadman gets here though, and I think that Precious is going to get his time. I think that Bam will miss some games down the stretch. There'll be things that are happening, and They'll kind of patchwork together. I think that for sure Precious is going to get some time. He can play with Deadman. He can play with Bealicio. Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment. Oh, look at that. We have Frankie. We're welcoming Frankie, who was tardy. Thanks for sending some help. Listen, I've been riding this solo. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Listen, we're going. I've never done a solo show. We went 12 minutes chat. How would you say that went? Can you tell me, how do you think my solo show went? I was a little nervous, I'm not gonna lie. I had to ramble. Frankie, you know I'm good at rambling. I had to bring it. Smith says, "Damn it, Frankie, we were enjoying watching G drown." Was I drowning? Was it drowning, chat? Would you say it was drowning? Okay, Heat Expert says it was good actually.
Okay, good. I trust Heat Expert. He's got good judgment.
There we go. So Frankie, we were talking about Deadman and kind of like the different looks that it could give Spo. It can kind of give him a chance to play two bigs. It could give him a chance to play one big. I don't think he'll have like a super huge effect. Curtis Hero said solid rambling. I'm kind of curious, like, what do you think his role is going to be?
It's tough to exactly determine it. If we get the 18-19 Deadman that could hit 38% from three and could rebound at a pretty decent clip, he could be a solid big in the rotation and take a lot of pressure off of Bam and Bielitsa, especially Bam. But last season he was awful. He was dealing with a lot of injuries. So we're hoping we see the former and not the latter. And a guy who can just fit his role, you know, set good screens, get our guards open and downhill, and can hit a couple spot ups and rebound. You know, we're not asking him for do much. He's got six fouls to use against Joel Embiid, six fouls for LaMarcus Aldridge, for Fat Boy, like you like to call him.
They don't have to go to Fat Boy. They don't have to go to Fat Boy.
Just give him six fouls, spread them out. Give a hard foul to Harden, give him a hard foul to Durant, spread them out.
He's just elbows and torso.
That's all I want. And if you look at him, he looks like he can fix your radiator. So 100%.
I feel like Jokic also looks like he can fix your radiator.
Yeah, Jokic is definitely the one that's going to haggle you about the price, though.
Jokic looks like the world's best mechanic. Like, Jokic looks like he will fix the shit out of your, like, Nissan Sentra.
He looks like an uneducated engineer. Like, he never went to college, but he knows how to get shit done. He's got that Goodwill Hunting. Yeah, Jokic. He's got that Goodwill Hunting.
He's so fun, man. We were talking before you got here how, like, you know, I don't think Embiid's going to face single coverage in a playoff series against the Heat. I think even if Bam's on the floor, I think they're going to send help and they're going to scramble and rotate. So I don't think Deadman is going to be here to just be on an island against Embiid, but he's certainly going to be here to kind of give the help a chance, right? And I was saying how, like, Jokic will just, he's so fun to watch pick that apart. He knows exactly where the help's coming and he flings impossible passes. I just love Nikola Jokic. We stand here on the pod.
Did you see that there was a crazy stat on the timeline that Jokic has already passed to Aaron Gordon, the second most, has already given Aaron Gordon the second most assists this season, and they've played five games together?
That's insane. But that might be a product of, like, them running handoffs and then Jamal Murray taking too many dribbles for it to count as an assist, even though it's like kind of created by Jokic screening and
it's just like finding him as a cutter and getting easy looks and the Magic being shit, except against
us. It's such
us,
a great,
know?
It makes so much sense. And him as a defender, he's like a legit wing that they could throw out LeBron and Kawhi, right? Like, like, guys in the West don't, like, you know, like Royce O'Neal, right? Not big enough to guard LeBron, right? Jeremy Grant last year just wasn't big enough to guard LeBron. And Aaron Gordon really gives him that. I think the Heat are kind of really well equipped to guard that kind of player. I think that's, like, one of the most underrated things that they do. They have Andre Iguodala, they have Bam, they have Jimmy, and they have Ariza to throw at those. They can give those guys single coverage. They don't have to blitz Tatum. Now, you might want to because he's not the best passer, but, like, guys like Kawhi, guys like Tatum, LeBron, they can give relatively single coverage. And if the guard just, if they want to put a guard in pick and roll, then, you know, kind of hard show and let recover. That's, like, one of their sneaky best skills. And that's like one of the most important things in the playoffs, to be able to guard that specific kind of player.
Yeah, and everybody else that you mentioned, including who you mentioned, and it's not even including Depot there. But you have all those
Depot can't guard power wings.
No, but I'm saying just positive defenders.
Yeah, he could probably like guard like a Paul George.
Yeah,
like
guys not gonna punish you inside.
Power you.
Yeah,
yeah, like even Jaylen Brown. You know, that's I think for kind of conference sake, Chris Middleton. Although Chris might have a little too much size and a little.
Who can't dribble, I want Depot on him. Get under them.
I would trust Depot on Drew Holiday, even though Drew has a little length on him. I think that Depot's just like, he gives you your best chance. Drew's, by the way, been absolutely just a monster in Milwaukee, just absolutely shredding the league. I mean, he's become their second best player.
Sorry,
Nikias. I love Chris Middleton. Sorry, Nikias, but like Drew's been outstanding for them. Shooting's been good. The dribbling's been good. That's a good team. I'm excited for the playoffs. I know that it's kind of weird talking about a loss. I feel like pretty good about that loss. Like, yeah, like in the way that it felt kind of anomalous because
they and
I mentioned this. I was on Alex Zano's radio show earlier today, and I kind of referenced what Nikias. I don't remember if he tweeted this or said this in the chat, but he said that the Heat kind of forced Memphis into a good shot profile because like Memphis usually faces drop and they just do like dumbass floaters or mid range jumpers, and the Heat by switching everything and trapping really kind of force them into like really in rhythm threes, which I thought was like really funny. And they're just like piss poor shooters. It was a weird game. I don't know what the fuck happened. I think we can talk a little bit about that, about how I think first and foremost, I mean, but beyond the switching and the trapping that apparently pissed people off, I was like, whatever, that's kind of how they play defense, right? But I thought the rotations were just always a step short, always a little late, always not like that's their thing, Frankie. Like they don't have overwhelming athletes on the perimeter. Their rotations are so fucking crisp and clean that even Tyler is in the right place at the right time and they're early. And that just wasn't there yesterday.
Yeah, I've said it on the pregame show aplenty, but you kind of see this team's identity is definitely a slower game. They want to play half court. They want to out execute you, make you force you into tougher shots and stuff. They did none of that yesterday. They played a high paced game. It was 124-114. That's not the kind of game the Heat win. They need to grind it out a little more of a slugfest 90s 2000s type basketball game.
Do you want them to do that?
That's been how they win. They win the games 98-93, not 100.
I don't like that though. They need to pick up the pace a little bit.
They're not hitting shots. Gee, if they're not hitting shots, they can't do that.
I would like, so like, and we've talked a little bit about this, like I like Victor kind of getting them into early offense a little sooner. I think that's like huge. They're 30th in pace, partly because we've said this a bunch, but they take a million seconds to get into a dribble handoff. And then, you know, all of a sudden when they switch that, now you have 8 seconds to make something happen. That's bad for the offense because you're not grinding out possessions. You're just wasting time doing nothing. There's one thing when you're working switches and like, and in the playoffs, I trust them to do that. I trust them to execute their offense a little sooner. I mean, we haven't seen much of it, but I saw it last season. They were getting into their sets a little quicker. And if someone switched, they're like, okay, where's Jimmy? There's a mismatch. Jimmy's going to find it. Jimmy's going to hunt. Jimmy's going to attack. Shout out to Curtis Hero for the tier one gifted sub. Man, we love that support. You're the best. Curtis Hero specifically is just fucking awesome. We love you, dude. So they need to be a little faster so they can work the chessboard a little better.
Yeah, definitely. A Heat expert here is saying they use so much energy on defense, all the stuff they run in their offense, that they have to maintain a slow pace. It's a great point by him that they do run so much offensively, the motion offense, the Duncan running off handoffs, Bam setting the tone offensively, Jimmy having to attack isolations. Isolations get exhausting as well. Like you're trying to overpower him, and Jimmy's not
isoing a lot though. He's not.
No, but he's looking to go through guys. In the overpowering sense. So he's trying to get a good matchup and he's trying to get to the rim, be aggressive, attack mentality. That's exhausting work.
I'm with you. I just think they need to be a little, I think they need to, sorry about that. They need to be a little better offensively. They need to be
100%. 100%. They're not going
to
win.
They have to have a little more bite.
They're not getting to the finals with this kind of offense. They need to, the shots need to fall. Once the shot, like we mentioned this yesterday, Ariza, Bielitsa, they're all shooting below 30% since they've gotten here. They haven't greased the wheels yet on offense like we hoped.
I think as long as Tyler and Duncan are fine, I think.
Yeah, they've gotten better. They've gotten better, definitely. Both of them shooting the ball a lot better since the deadline. But you need more depth than that. Because those guys are both negatives defensively. They're going to be hunted, and they need to grease the wheels a lot more than that. They're not going to be scoring 30 points a game in the playoffs. They need to grease the wheel. You need other guys greasing the wheels for you. You need Goran back. You need Depot to hit open shots, Ariza to hit his open shots, Bielitsa to space the floor. You need those guys to hit those shots so these guys can go downhill and when the defense collapses, you can kick it out and make them pay. Otherwise, they're just going to keep collapsing on the defense and nothing's going to happen. Just 2011 finals all over again.
The best version of themselves is a team that can make the finals. Whether we ever see that or not, that's a different question. But at their best, at their peak, when they're operating at like the capacity that we know that they can, we have not seen that yet, though.
Yeah, we need a greasy situation.
We need a greasy.
No, definitely. I'm putting part of this on you. You have not once called Trevor Ariza or Bielitsa mediocre shooters.
Because they're good.
No, but this is what happens, G. This is what happens.
I know.
You got to play your role. Everybody needs to play their role. You got to perfect your role. You knew your role last year, and that's
why I got to be a team player. I gotta figure something out. Yeah, I mean, I take responsibility for that. We haven't fat shamed Bielitsa enough over here, so maybe that's the next step. I don't know. We need to figure something out for these guys.
We need to try something out, you know, work the offense, apply some different strategy. We're going with this. We're not making adjustments, and that's on all of us, honestly. Starts with you, though.
Starts with me, then ends with Spo. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just the top to bottom. I like Victor lately. I think yesterday was kind of good because I saw Five Reasons tweet this out, that if anything to take from this game, it's that Victor trusts his body. And I think that's a great takeaway. That if that's what came out of that, I'm okay. And if it's a process, because they are a new team, they are a wholesale different team than they were prior to the trade deadline for a couple of reasons. Because Duncan and Tyler are playing well again. I mean, Duncan was always playing well, but like Duncan was now is elite again.
Now he's shooting well again.
Not even because he was elite before, because 39% on like 8 attempts is fucking elite. He's like super duper elite. He's like best. And like even before that, he was like third in made threes. It's crazy how we're like, no, we need more out of you. He's kind of back to form. Tyler has done some soul searching, has found something. I don't know what he's found, but he's found something and I like it. And if those guys are playing well, the team looks different. Everything works differently when they're there. Oladipo is not an easy piece to incorporate on offense. I think on defense, it's looked good. On offense, it hasn't. And that's a work in progress. Similar to Jay and Andre getting here and them changing the defense, it wasn't good right away. If you remember, like that switch scheme was getting absolutely torched in the beginning because like Jay didn't really know where to stand and the help wasn't really good. And like they didn't figure that out. Eventually they got there, but this is a work in progress, right? This is a work in progress, and Goran's not really 100% right yet. That's another thing I want to get to. I was watching some Goran film today on Instat. That's like my new favorite thing. Oh god, I love Instat so much. I was watching every possession Goran's had off handoffs going to the basket, because that was a huge part of their offense last year. Something that they would do is have Goran come off a screen into a handoff and then have Bam roll. And then if Duncan's screening or Jimmy's screening, you have either Jimmy rolling or Duncan flaring and then Bam rolling. So you have all this action going in and out of the paint, right? So you have this perfect synergy, this perfect motion offense with Goran as an elite finisher with a head of steam going to the rim with a lob threat and a shooter. That's optimized. It was optimized. And then the bubble, it was fucking torching people. And that hasn't been there this season. Goran doesn't have the zip. The shooters were not providing the spacing that they needed. And those two things combined has been disaster. Smith Smolnik says, G gets so horned up from inside that he has to log in through incognito mode. Listen, did you not see yesterday? They did it again. They did the horns thing again. They ran horns with Jimmy and Tyler. So for those of you who don't know, I did a little video analysis. I put on my little Nikias Duncan hat and I analyzed the play in which Jimmy Butler was screening in a horn set with Bielitsa. And what a horn set is with the ball handlers at the top of the key, you get one guy on the left and one guy on the right screen, and one of them pops and the other one rolls, right? It's a really common basketball play, and it's like a really cool stuff. And what Eric Spoelstra has done for many years, going back to the Big Three days, is he would have guard screen and horns, because traditionally you want your bigs doing it. So in the Big Three heat, it would be like Chris Bosh and then Shane Battier, right? As your four and your five. And then Battier will roll and Bosh will pop. But obviously Battier sucks as a roller, and Bosh was not like an elite 3-point shooter yet at that point. So what they did was they would have like Ray Allen and Dwayne Wade screen and horns. And then Ray Allen was flaring and Dwayne Wade was rolling. And now you have LeBron James put in a pick and roll with two guards, right in front of him. And those guys are just like, literally, that's no resistance. Whoever's guarding Ray Allen is just not giving LeBron any resistance. And whoever's guarding Dwayne, same thing. And Spo has kind of reincorporated that, except using Jimmy as a roller. So what they've done recently is they even clear out the side. So normally in a horn set, you have your four, your one and your two and the deep corners. What Spo has done, he kind of vacates the corners and they run like a two-man game. So like Duncan and Ariza will run something and like Duncan will curl off Ariza screening while they're running the horns action. So they empty out the corners and they have Duncan kind of moving up. And what you have is Jimmy rolling into massive amounts of space. And it's been like really successful. And they did it again last night and they got a free layup because, of course, Goran is a good decision maker, Jimmy. So that's something you guys should watch. Four, and I'm sorry I'm rambling again. I just listen, I get excited for horn sets. I mean, it's cool. I love it. Brass Jazz in chat says horns. You plug Stream Beat yet, Frankie?
Horny for horns. No, I haven't plugged Stream Beat yet. Moose isn't here yet. Nikias is ignoring Stream Beat. This is just a mess.
I saw that you're one of your guests, Adnan Verk, is now doing something with the Levitar Pirate Ship.
Yeah, you just joined Meadowlark. You see what happens? You join us for an episode of Stream Beat. You get an upgrade in the pay and the raise and your
Look
job
that.
And exploitation. Like, this is what Stream Beat can do for you.
Stream Beat's a career launcher. You know, not that I'd ever need your help, but it certainly helps. By the way, if you guys are listening to this or you're listening to the pod and you missed last night's Hangover Time, our post-game show hosted by Alphonse Sidney, a.k.a. Alf954, a.k.a. my Heat Twitter president. We had Mike Ryan on from the Dan Levitard Show with Sugats. And Mike is an old friend of the show. Mike's OG. Mike's OG Heat Twitter. Awesome dude. Check that out. The replay's on YouTube, or if you listen on the pod, listen to the pod. Mike took an on-air swipe at the Deuces Podcast Network.
Oh, God, it was glorious. He attacked Dos Minutos repeatedly.
Is that not funny? Let's pause from like the basketball stuff for just a second. Give us 1 second to self-indulge in like Heat Twitter lore. That was like that was so inside Heat Twitter, but that goes to, I mean, Mike's like legitimately like a very known famous person in sports. And the fact that he is on our platform talking shit about the Deuces Podcast Network made me so happy. It made this all worth it.
It was the Deuces and Straight Rich for me. He came out swinging at both of them, took all the swipes all the way down. It was like watching LeBron get a mismatch in the playoffs like he wanted and just making that guy get off the floor. It was just a matchup nightmare for the Deuces Network. And this is why they had to hire Isaac and not hire anybody else.
He's an embezzler.
He's completely an embezzler. They don't know what they're doing over there. And I'm glad somebody's finally called them out.
Brass in chat says Deuces is probably my least podcast network ever. And listen, he's right. Okay, real quick, because we're not doing a very long show today. We've done a lot of content this week. We had Hangover Time. We did a locker room session, which covered a lot of this stuff earlier. By the way, if you miss a locker room session, go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. We have all sorts of goodies. We're planning our next watch party soon, so get involved with that. We have all our newsletter that's coming out this week. Tons of fun stuff going on in the Patreon, so join that. Frankie, I want to talk a little bit about the Lakers because, like, I saw that.
Hold on, you were talking about Goran, and then you went off on a tangent about the horns.
Well, what was I saying about? Oh yeah, I watched a ton of Goran film. That man is not walking through that door. They're not getting that Goran. That Goran is gone. He doesn't exist anymore.
I absolutely love how we give you takes.
I know
it's all of us. Every single one in the group chat gives you takes.
Tiff, Siobhan, everybody.
Chris, Brass, everybody says this, and you take months of denial.
I know, months.
And then you finally come along, you're like, holy shit, you guys were right. Yeah, all the time. I mean,
it's jarring, but like you watch like the possessions in the playoffs, and you watch them now, and you're just like, no, this is not the same dude. This is just not.
Goran was legitimately a top 10 player in the playoffs.
That's like legit, like stats don't tell the story, because you look at the numbers, and you're just like, I mean, he can replicate this. This is not, you know, you look at it and you're just like, that's not so impressive that he can't do that again. Because it's not like he was like shooting the lights out or anything. He was shooting like 40 something percent from the 40s, like 3% from the field, you know, 38% from three. Like it wasn't like anything jarring. Yeah. 19 points a game. You watch what he was doing. The purpose and the force in which he moved is just different. King Jack 23 in chat says Goran's gone, bro. Kind of. He's kind of gone. And if he's not going to be the same, if he's going to be your sixth best option, I'm not feeling too good about that unless Depot and Tyler become something that I don't think they will be.
Yeah, I don't feel so good, Mr. Riley.
I don't feel so good, Mr. Riley. Like, that's to me what... Yeah, Brass says don't bother playing Goran until the playoffs. I disagree with that for a couple of reasons. He needs to build chemistry with the guys on the court. And I do think that they should rest him and have a maintenance plan and a minutes maintenance plan. But I don't know how serious people are when they say, like, literally don't play him until the playoffs. Like, maybe shut him down for weeks. I don't know. I don't. They tried that with Dwayne. Do you remember? They would just, like, shut Dwayne down for, like, yeah. And then he looked like shit that playoffs. And the season that he didn't have a maintenance plan, he looked way better. He was in much better shape. It's tough. Brass says, fuck you, I'm right. Probably.
I agree with Brass.
Yeah. Brass could have come on the pod, but didn't. Fucking coward. He's in chat, but he won't come on talk with us.
Ooh.
He's too good. Now he's on Hangover Time producing. Doesn't do pods anymore.
Ooh.
Brass, yeah. So don't you dare disagree with me. Yeah. So something to monitor.
I would try, you know, like, it doesn't have to be a full-on maintenance plan. Just, you know, avoid the back-to-backs and stuff like that. Like, especially road back-to-backs. Try to rest Goran. Where you can, you know, you have Nunn and Vincent who have played decently this year and can, you know, they're not going to replicate what Goran can do fully, but Nunn can give you some scoring punch off the bench. Vincent can give you some defense and can run the offense solidly enough. You know, that's where you can get Goran the rest that you need. You know, they're still playing for a playoff spot. They're still playing for a home court advantage. They do need Goran to get to a good spot in the playoffs.
They need him, and again, for them to unlock the best version of themselves, they need him to be something that he isn't. And the burst isn't there. The finishing's not there. Shooting not very good. I've mentioned before the step back in isolation. That step back three was huge for him. It's not there. That was like one of the most important things he added to his game. Made him very difficult, especially coming off handoffs. If teams were switching and Biggs had to really lay off of him, he takes that one hard dribble, then the step back. The Heat are great. Go ahead.
No, that's what they were missing in the finals. They had no pull-up threat, so that they could run drop all day, and Tyler wasn't making them pay, and that's it. That the on-ball offense went dead because Goran was hurt, and none scored a little bit, but he wasn't the playmaker that Goran is, so they would live with the results.
So I saw a video today of a guy named Samson Folk. I retweeted it on the Heat Beat account. And what he had a really great quote where he says, Miami attacks space so diligently. And I'm like, that's such a great way to describe how the Heat play offense. They attack space. They leverage shooting. They leverage their spacing and they leverage their movement to get to soft spots of the defense with, like, just really relentless effort and movement. It's exhausting to watch Tyler and Duncan Robinson play. I mean, Duncan and Tyler are in full sprint all the time. When they come off the screen, they are not trotting, right? They are in full sprint. And that's not... Watch other teams. Watch other teams run that. Listen, nobody's running shit in the NBA that, like, nobody else runs. Everybody runs the same stuff for the most part. The sets are... A flex action is a flex action. Floppy is floppy. Horns are horns. A pistol is pistol. All this stuff is the same, right? Yeah. To a degree. Everybody runs their little variations. But like watch how other people run this stuff. Those guys don't run with the same force that they do. And it's relentless and it's exhausting. But I thought it was such an eloquent way to put it that they just attack space. They shift the defense by doing so. Because when Duncan and Tyler are hitting their shots and when they're moving like that, the defense has to give a shit. They have to care. They have to help. They have to switch. They have to double. They have to do something because that guy can't beat you. Because those 3 points, and he will knock down 7-9. And we've seen it, and he's done it. And teams don't want that because that sucks. And when the defense starts shifting, all of a sudden, now we're cooking with oil. You get Jimmy. You get Bam into those soft spots get softer. Those pull-ups get a little easier. Those drives to the rim, suddenly they're a step sooner. It's good. And their offense can be that level of good. They need to click on all levels. Oladipo is a huge part of that because without Goron giving that rim pressure, I want to see them run Oladipo off more handoffs, kind of getting him downhill to the rim. It's not something I've seen too much of. He's not the shooting threat that Goron is, which makes him imperfect for that, because when Goron comes off that handoff, he is a legitimate threat to pull up right there off that catch. Depo is not, but Oladipo's quicker. He has burst and athleticism that Goron doesn't have. Goron is a stronger kind of, you know, burlier finisher and stuff like that. So I would watch out for that. What you got, Frankie?
Oh yeah, I was going to add, like you said, most teams run the same kind of stuff, but the Heat really have a custom to, you know, since these guys are bottom tier roster guys, guys that had to work their way up from the G League, bottom of the lottery, they had to, you know, nothing was given to most of these guys. So they've had to like really perfect their craft. There's, you know, you can come off a pin down, but if you're not walking down your guy and creating an easier angle for yourself, like you're making your job harder. You know, some guys can't get the ball off a pin down without working hard and still hit that shot, but you're not going to increase the amount of open looks you're getting if you're not doing the work early. Duncan is phenomenal at that. He walks his man down, puts his shoulder into him, creates that angle, gets him leaning that way, and then full dead on sprint coming for the handoff. And that's what forces the big to come hedge up and play the line so high. So, and then as a result of that, like you said, Bam gets open, Jimmy gets open, Duncan jumps up, gives him the drop, the Red Sea parts, and they're coming in for the flush. It's stuff like that, that, you know, you don't always pay attention to, but it's such little minor details that make all the difference. And Duncan's is so good at that, that it's amazing to watch. And him being 6'8" and just having that high release and getting his shot off so quickly makes all the difference in the world too for that. He's just a phenomenal shooter to watch play.
It's why, like, we watched last night's game and I don't take much from it. Right. Like, there's a couple of things that you can be concerned about, but I thought the reason why they lost that game was anomalous. It's not why they lose basketball games in 2021. Yeah. They don't lose basketball games because their rotations are bad, and they don't lose basketball games because they make stupid decisions on defense. Normally they lose basketball games because these motherfuckers can't score a lick. Right. Yeah. And if if Dylan Brooks is going to have 23 and a quarter,
love that,
mostly on Jimmy, like scoring over Jimmy.
Tip your cap. That's it.
It's frustrating, Frankie. Like, the fan base is pissed. I mean, we know. I mean, the fan base is pissed, and I think rightfully so. And double teaming and trapping fucking this Ted Cruz looking kid, I forget his name, Grayson Allen, is frustrating. Like, why are they doing that? Why are they over trapping? Yeah, why are they over switching? It's totally valid, and it's frustrating. You just like your head scratch, but the defense is not why they lose games, and they know that. Coaching staff knows. They're all smart. This is a high IQ basketball team.
Yeah, definitely. I thought what Nikai said was interesting on the timeline, that they're kind of just running their defense what they want to run, even though it's not a good matchup. They didn't adjust to their opponent this game. They were running their stuff that they're trying to work on and try to get ready for the playoffs. And, you know, normally, like you also mentioned, that most teams are running drop and going under these screens on jaw and trying to force this team into taking floaters and contested shots. But the Heat are going over, they're switching, they're trapping, they're hedging, they're forcing the actions toward the rim, towards them aggressive. And it's not just Ja that's a threat to get to the cup, because these guys get to the cups and hit floaters at a high level. Yeah. It's slow-mo doing it like an old man at the YMCA, just knowing how to play and hitting the shots off the glass and stuff. You know, they didn't adjust to this opponent, definitely. And I liked... I kind of like it in a way that they're trying to like force their way to they know they can adjust to them and win this game, but they're trying to really test their defense. They're trying to see, this is a bad matchup for how we want to play our defense. Let's fucking play our defense anyways. Let's test it out. This is a young, spurly team. They're going to run. They're going to push the pace. They're going to get on transition. They're going to attack early and often. They're going to there's not a shot when they get to the rim. They're going to kick it out. The next guy's going to attack it over and over and over again until the open shot gets there. And that's a great test for the defense. You saw they weren't up to par. They were definitely not a playoff team defense.
They looked slow. It wasn't even like I don't even want to blame the scheme too much. Well, you can talk like why the scheme didn't work, but like they just legit were not executing at a high level.
Yeah, but they have always struggled. They're an older team, man. They're you have a
I
reason.
Like what Heat Expert says in the chat. Heat struggle with those young athletic teams.
Yeah, they always the have. These guys, they're how old, many guys in the rotation are above 30? Like,
remember, guys, men win playoff games, kids don't. And they don't have to face those kids in the playoffs.
Yeah. The Grizzlies are hanging a banner that they beat Andre Iguodala twice this year. And that's all they can want. He didn't even play the first game.
Frankie, the other thing I think, like, this is a good test for how they're going to guard Embiid, because they're going to defend like that. They're going to front and recover and rotate, right? They're not going to give Embiid single coverage. So I also thought it was like for them, like, okay, let's try this out and let's see what we got to work on before, you know, before dress rehearsal.
Yeah, literally. And you know, the Grizzlies don't have as many shooters as Philly does.
They hit way too many shots, dude. Get the fuck out of here. The first 10 of 11 corner threes. Out of here.
No, but normally they don't hit. They're not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they don't. They suck.
Like, you know, they have guys who can hit a shot, but they don't have a lot of shooters. It's Desmond Bane. Rest in peace, my draft coverage on Desmond Bane.
I don't like people getting upset at them not getting Desmond when they needed a guard, because they also needed a big, right? And they got one.
They could have got
Precious had panned out. Like, I don't know. I just think that's a bad exercise.
I didn't like the Precious pick just because it was
traded him for Lowry. Like, come on, let's stop this.
No,
like,
man. But if they had drafted Maxey or Bane, they would have had Lowry. That would have been enough. They wouldn't have been begging for a draft pick.
No, I think they were going to beg for the draft. They were begging Philly for the draft pick regardless, and Philly had better younger players.
I think. But
regardless,
it's just one of those nights, man, that the shooting's not there for the Heat. The defense wasn't there. They were steps slow. That's okay. You know, you take that, you learn from it, you move on. This is a veteran team. They're not going to hold their heads down on this loss like the fan base does.
This is apocalyptic.
Yeah, we go game to game. If they won that game, we're like, beat our chest. 7 in a row. Let's go, baby. We got this. But no, they lost the game. They lost a tough game. They looked slow. That's okay. That happens.
We move. We're Gucci. It's all good. Lakers tomorrow, which, by the way, I think Philly Heat said the Lakers have like a 100 defensive rating in like their last 5 games or something.
We're coming for that.
Last 2 weeks or something, huh?
We're coming for that ass. Shout out to OG for almost starting a benches clearing brawl.
Dude, I love OG Anunoby. Where's Jack? Indiana University's finest.
I love OG.
He's deeper than him. But yeah, like, it's great. I love it. Tomorrow, you know, they got to win tomorrow. I don't think there's any kind
must
of...
Must win game. Ways.
Not a must win game, but like, they better win. Like, come on.
Revenge game. You got to shit on them.
You got to beat Dennis Schroeder. You can't go in. And remember, Barry Jackson said this earlier in his article. He's like, remember that he lost to a Clippers team without Kawhi and Paul George twice.
God. Some of those fucking early season losses. The Heater. With Jimmy, the Heat are going to look back at some of those early season losses, and if they fall short of a home court seed or anything like that, they find themselves in the play-in game, they're going to fucking regret some of
those. They got to get the fuck out of the play-in game. Like, yeah. I want out of that play-in game.
I want that 4-5. I don't care. I'll take the 5 seed. I don't care.
But out of the play-in, just away from it. I don't want any one game samples where somebody hits 15 out of 20 corner threes. And
I want Philly in the second round, man. I want Philly in the second round, and I
want
to see.
That's the matchup they should want.
Yes, absolutely. I want Philly in the second round.
I'd actually want Philly over Milwaukee.
Yes, because I want Milwaukee to face Brooklyn.
Oh, I didn't even think that far ahead. No. I just think the path for them is Philly.
It's easier if you go through Philly.
They can't outscore Brooklyn, and I don't care if they have the wing defenders to do a good job against them. They just won't outscore them. It's too hard. Milwaukee can, and Philly can, but Miami can't. And I do think that Miami has some tactical advantages against Milwaukee and the Sixers. Now, Milwaukee, very interestingly, is switching a lot this season. I think I saw that they're switching 18% of their possessions rather than 9% last season. So they're trying stuff, right? And switching really hurts the Heat. They're not a high switch team yet, but, you know, they're working on that. So that's something to watch. I think they play the Bucks one more time this season. I know Giannis is missing some time now. They escaped. They barely lost to the Warriors without Giannis yesterday. Steph had to like go crazy. So listen, the Eastern Conference is fun. There's a lot to look forward to. Tomorrow's game against Dennis Schroeder and the Lakers is going to be important. I'm sure that TNT is very mad that that game has no stars except for Jimmy and Bam. I guess an Oladipo. No Lakers stars. Remember our Patreon, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. Follow me at GNavas103 on Twitter. That's GNAVAS103. You can follow Frankie at FrankieG_. Frankie,
follow StreamBeat.
Yeah. What is StreamBeat? You want to tell people what you and Moose are doing with StreamBeat? When do you guys record?
We usually record on.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.